Judge Kehoe in Nome.
Mm-hmm.
Great man.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of a story too. We all turn off.
You're talking about Judge Kehoe in Nome?
In Nome. And that was it. That's a funny deal.
Mm-hmm.
At the Bar Association, there weren't too many of us there. I don't remember what year this was. We decided to take George back to Nome. And George hadn't been there. George Grisby.
Yeah.
Hadn't been there for 17 years. At that time, Stan McCutcheon was president of the Alaska Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so we chartered a plane. And we couldn't get, no wives were allowed. I was allowed, but no wives. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy, yeah.
At any rate, they couldn't get enough people, so they, for the charter, so they allowed some other people to go. So some of the wives went.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Judge Plummer was on that trip, and Mary, his wife,
mm-hmm.
and Cal Moritas, and of course George. I don't remember all of them.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of us.
What year was this? About 47?
Yeah. No, it was after that.
In the 50s?
Early 50s.
Okay.
And so we went to Nome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were going to go early Saturday morning. So we got out to the airport, and there was something wrong with the plane. So we stayed out there until about noon. And of course, everybody had a hip flask in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So we were half plastered before we got on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Nome. And I remember Cal Moritas on the way. He says, "I don't know why we took an airplane. I'm flying already." You can't put all this in a history, can you?
You can try.
At any rate.
I can try, yeah.
We got up there, and I was with George and Harold Butcher, and I've forgotten who else, in a car with Judge Keel.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of cars met us. And Vander Smith was one of them, and all of those beautiful flowers on the hillsides of Nome. It was mm-hmm. in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Judge to stop and picked a whole bouquet. Because mm-hmm. all I did was wilt. I
yeah.
picked them anyway. And so then we, on the way back to town, Judge Keogh said, came to a bridge or a little stream.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I must stop here." He says, "George, go get some water." And he pulled out a bottle. And paper cups or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had a drink. Then we got to Nome and we got into this hotel. I think it was run by Alaska Airlines then, I'm not sure, but it was later. At any rate, Chamber of Commerce had a dinner for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Harold Butcher was the secretary at that time, secretary of the bar. And, of course, he had to pay for the dinner. Well, it developed, there were six, it was Chamber of Commerce dinner.
Mm-hmm.
There were six members of the Chamber of Commerce. And it developed, as it worked out, that we paid for their dinners. Nobody really cared, but
yeah.
You know.
They didn't even realize, is that what it was?
Well, I don't know whether they did or not. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We finally figured that one out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the time I met Judge Kehoe. I never appeared before him in court.
Yeah.
But he was a lovely, lovely man, you know. Well, he had a drink, you know, he was perfectly sober,
mm-hmm.
perfectly all right. And He used to do watercolors.
Uh-huh.
Very nice. So does Judge Bundright.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yes. Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful watercolors. So, well, that's the story about Noah.
Mm-hmm.
We came back the next day. It was a beautiful trip. In fact, I rode his co-pilot and got to fly the plane with it. DC-3.
I had
a beautiful life.
Yeah.
And it was kind of sunset, you know, and the mountains were just all pink. It was mm-hmm. gorgeous. And, oh, poor George. Everything had changed in Nome mm-hmm. in 17 years.
Yeah.
I know a few people. Old Harry, somebody, you know. But it isn't like it used to be. And the boardwalks, you know. If you wore high heels, you had to watch it. You'd get your heel caught between the boards.
Yeah.
Now I understand they have sidewalks. I haven't been up there since they had sidewalks. But, oh, it was picturesque. It was mm-hmm. beautiful. We went out. No, not that trip, another trip. The King Islanders, you know, where they made the ivory and...
Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Well, King's Island is out of Nome.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in the summertime
mm-hmm.
and make up their camps and carve ivory for the tourists.
Mm-hmm. So you saw that when you were there?
Oh yeah, I saw them in their boats upside down. Some of them lived under the boats, and some of them had little cabins.
Yeah.
The only thing about this, let's see. Oh, just Pratt.
Was that in Fairbanks?
In Fairbanks.
Yeah. You were before him with the OPA, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And after that.
Did he have the same dislike for the OPA that Judge Hellenthal had?
I don't think I was before him with the OPA. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
But, this smoke is getting right through you, isn't it?
Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry. What a handy device.
Use it for me. At any rate,
Judge Pratt.
And he wore an eye shade, a green eye shade.
Uh huh.
And sit on the bench, you'd think he was asleep. But man, if something happened, he was right up there.
Yeah.
He wasn't asleep at all. He knew everything that was going on. Delightful old gentleman. And, oh, Betty Bell. Another old gentleman.
Why do you say that?
He was a character, I'll tell you. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
Good liar. But he, Judge Pratt, yeah, I had a case, yeah, this was an OPA case that
mm-hmm.
I had before Judge Pratt. No, he didn't have the prejudice.
Oh, he didn't.
Mm-hmm. That Helen found it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he, oh, I had a case and I listed all these violations, you know. And Beatty was quite persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that Oklahoma, you know.
Uh-huh.
And Judge Pratt wrote, he wanted me to. Beatty said I didn't separately state each offense, you
mm-hmm.
know. And the judge ruled for him. Before I had it, chance to respond. And now I jumped up and said, Judge Pratt, may I respond? So he said yes, and so I pontificated a little bit. I don't remember what I said, but this was really destroying me, you know. So I got him to change his will.
Well, he did after he made it.
Yeah.
That's very good.
And one of the attorneys after that, you pulled a rabbit out of the hat, didn't you?
I forgot to ask you earlier, what was the bar exam like when you took it? You said you'd studied with Nesbitt.
Well, it was, Nesbitt didn't take it when I did. I took it alone in Juneau in 45. No, it wasn't. I'm not sure when I took it, but it was a long time before I got my grades or was admitted.
Yeah.
And I didn't care because I was still working for OPA. Yeah. But I took it. I typed my answers in the library. Nobody watched me. I could have looked at books, but I didn't need
them.
I didn't think. And Ralph Rivers was Attorney General then. You know Ralph Rivers, he was our representative, so.
Yeah.
And so there were 10 categories, like admiralty law, torts, that's the way they did it then. And I had no problem with it at all. And in fact, I saw my grades. The clerk of court was Brunel. Showed him to me. Showed my papers to him. I got 100 from the Attorney General.
Oh, God.
The rest of them were way up in the 90s. So I felt pretty good, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then I had an oral examination. I had to have an oral before Judge Diamond then.
It was before Judge Diamond. Just he? Or were there other people, too?
Well, there had to be a representative of the bar, like it was old Dan Cuddy. Warren Cuddy. So...
Anybody else? So it was just Judge Diamond and Warren Cuddy.
That's all I remember. But I was kind of, I think I was in a witness stand or something. Yeah, I was in a witness stand. And Cuddy was asking me questions. But before I got in there, Cuddy caught me in the hall. And he says, what was the, holding in Munn versus Illinois. Remember that one?
No.
Your legal education has been neglected.
I know. I've done most of the neglecting.
At any rate, I said it is a basis of public utility law, which it is. I said there was a taxation question. Well, I didn't have time to look it up. So he says, you better look that up. And, but the main question, there was a tax question involved. The main thing was, it was a stockyard or something in Chicago. And it was a, became the basis for all our public utilities being controlled. And so that's what I said when he asked me. And he said, I think you're mistaken, Miss Tanner. Bothered that it taxed. Well, it did.
Yes.
But the basic thing was the
that it was the basic thing.
Control of the churches. And so anyway, I passed the word. But bless his heart, he told me to look it up. that's the way they did things in those days, you know?
Yeah. Informally.
He kind of wanted me to pass, you mm-hmm. know?
Had you known him before that?
Oh, yes.
In Juneau?
In
Anchorage.
In Anchorage, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Ma.
What were you doing back down in Juneau to take the bar? Or did you take it in Anchorage?
No, I had to go back down there to take it.
Why?
Because they didn't give it up here.
Oh, they didn't?
They gave it in Juneau. Mm-hmm. Well, there weren't that many. It was only me, you know?
Who else took it with you in Juneau?
Nobody.
So it was only...
So, Nesbitt didn't want to take it. He wanted to study some more first.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was... Nesbitt was a very... Erudite? Is mm-hmm. that a good
erudite,
word?
Yeah.
Erudite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll go for that. A student of the law, really. Mm-hmm. I didn't always agree with him, but nevertheless.
Yeah.
He wanted to be sure he was going to pass it. So then he took it. I think I took it. Well, whatever. He and two others. One's long gone. He shouldn't have passed, but they'd never flunked anybody to that time, so they passed that guy too. And he was a lousy life. And then they, and I forgot who else, maybe Dorothy took it in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dorothy and Nesbitt, Dorothy Oz,
mm-hmm.
Holland, and Nesbitt and this guy, I forgot his name, mm-hmm. That's just as well. They wanted to wait until they could grade all the papers together.
Uh-huh.
You know, they sent from various places to all these graders. And so I didn't get admitted right away.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't concerned, you know. So.
You were still working for OPA, so it didn't make any difference.
Right. But then I think in May or August or June or something,
mm-hmm.
we were all admitted.
Yeah. Back into Anchorage, you were talking about your private practice, and then you went into the government working for rent control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What did you do?
Well, first I was district manager, and then Ty Woods came up. He was head from mm-hmm. Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Juneau and met with him, and I wanted to be rent control attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Because I needed more money, especially I wanted to get back in the legal field.
Yeah.
So he promised me I could be rent control attorney.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, well, I wanted more money than he wanted to give me, but he said, you can't do that. The mm-hmm. area rent control director is 13.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 12. You'll be a 12.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't get my 13 at any rate. So eventually, the rent control director quit, went back to California,
mm-hmm.
and I was made, I wanted to be rent control director, and I was made temporary,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
I redid the whole operation.
No, thank you.
And
don't worry.
Oh, I wanted to be area rent director.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to say Green and Bartlett. Well, I missed Bartlett. So Green and Cordova. And he said, would you mind moving to Juneau? And I said, no, not for this job. And he sort of promised it to me, but I didn't get it. Because I didn't see Bart. They had another Paul in mind, and he got it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's just another story of my life.
It wasn't because you're a woman, though. It was politics, is that?
Oh, yeah.
It was just politics.
Yeah. I found very little discrimination because I was a woman. Mm-hmm. Really.
Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah.
Yes, people didn't come to me for major things because I was a woman. I'm sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became a judge, you know, some guy called me about something, I've forgotten what it was. He says, I don't believe in women being judges, but then he asked me a question, and I answered. He said, you're doing all right. And then a friend of mine told me that somebody was on a jury one of my jury cases, you know, and he said, I was prejudiced against women being judges, but he said, man, she was a good one. She did everything. Isn't that lovely to
hear? That's wonderful, yeah.
Those nice things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're very lucky. Okay.
Yeah. Just be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
When I was with the junior bar, we had a cocktail party one time in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there on a midwinter bar meeting, and this is before I came to Alaska. And the Jimmy Connors had a cocktail party. I don't think he was present there. I'm not sure that he ever was. But anyway, we were in the kitchen. Remember that? He said, how about starting a woman's junior bar? Woman lawyers. I said, no way, over my dead body. I said, we're lawyers. When we become lawyers, that's it. You know? The legal profession has one. I'm against the Women Lawyers Association. I haven't joined it up here. I didn't join the National Women Lawyers Association. I went to one of their parties in Chicago, too. And it was a tea party. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know if you understand.
Oh, I do understand.
But you're a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to forget that you're a woman, you know? You don't have to forget that you're a woman. But when you're a lawyer, you're a lawyer. That's all I mean. And
see,
the lawyer's problems are lawyer's problems. My problems are the same as a man's problems in the law, you know?
Yeah.
I'm pontificating again. I shouldn't do that. No, but I have some very, very definite ideas about it. When these gals decided they were going, I used to go to their breakfasts and things, decided they were going to start a Women's Lawyers Association. Not me. I'm against it. But they did it anyway. Well, we have problems that the men don't have. Yeah. Perhaps. I suppose so. Really. But
do you ever felt that you had problems that the men didn't have?
Not in Alaska, really. Except for the fact that I didn't get some business there. If I'd been a man, I could have kept, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Do you think it would have helped to be a part of these women's associations? Would that have helped you get the business that
I don't think so. No. I think it's divisionary. separates the men from the women mm-hmm. instead of putting them all together.
Uh-huh.
See what I mean?
I do. Mm-hmm. Well, you were the first woman to become a judge.
No.
You weren't.
Mary Alice Miller.
Was first.
In Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely girl. I think she's retired now, but she was the first one. But I was the first one in Anchorage.
Why? Why do you think that you were, or what led to it?
What led to it? That's kind of beautiful. Turn that off and I left it out.
Okay.
I don't remember what year. I think it was 68.
Mm-hmm.
They made the magistrates district judges. And then 67. You know, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But then, well, it must have been 68 because in 69, there were applicants for the, so the magistrates were out. So they, well, some of them applied.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bar Association, Anchorage Bar, appointed a committee to ask people to apply for the job.
Mm-hmm.
So now Judge Buckaloo came in to see me one day and he said, well, the bar committee decided you're one of them.
Mm-hmm. Is that nice? So you didn't even apply, they just decided to?
Oh, well, I did. I had to apply, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, they said they'd give me their support.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, did they ever. They did.
Yeah.
And I got the job. Governor Heckle appointed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it for a while, but you know, being district judge is kind of a, well, you get burned out. And drunk drivers, assault and battery, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the greatest job. I don't know how some of those guys can stand it here day after day. Because
mm-hmm.
I could, 8.5 years is enough for me.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, there are many rewarding experiences, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Helping people to, oh, sued somebody or somebody that sued somebody that they shouldn't have, you know? Just doing what you thought was best, and some of them were very difficult decisions, as you can well imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some nice, two or three nice letters and one real lousy letter. Oh, God, I saved it, too. It's so cute. Because the guy... Oh.
Why?
Well, he was driving on his speedy. Yeah, this is real interesting, all this speeding violation, all this BS.
Mm-hmm.
He said he knew what, his speedometer was broken, but he knew how fast he was driving because he drove a thing out in the airport that he could only go 5 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew how fast he was. Well, I found him guilty. Well, he was unhappy. And he wrote me a letter. I should show it to you. I don't know where it is. It was really funny.
Yeah.
He said, "You're so old, you should retire." Well, I'd already announced my retirement, and it had been in the paper, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't bother to answer. Why answer?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you answer most of your letters? Did you answer them? Is that?
Mm-mm. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I did not. I don't know. Maybe I should. But to criticize me, that's the only letter I got to criticize.
Mm-hmm.
The others were so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that I should have, perhaps. But I don't know. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a judge has to be a little bit reclusive, which I didn't particularly like.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't as reclusive as I should have been, maybe. But
could you keep up your old friendships with other attorneys when you're a judge, when they're going to be before you?
Oh, I think so.
How? In what way were you reclusive?
I mean, and there are things you can't say and can't do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ethically.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed being in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Courtroom, I love. That's my life. I'd like to go back in. Track case. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like the courtroom?
Yeah.
But the administration and the... I got they handed me a file about 2 inches thick
mm-hmm.
on a fish and game case. Can we go in the court and hear it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, gentlemen, was just handed this file. I don't know anything about it. And this happened more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the biggest one. Will you please explain the case to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. You know, a judge should have time to go over things before he goes into the court.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose it's the same everywhere, you know. Just too much business for, and too few judges.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have the time to...
To do everything.
I need that my time, sir. One of the Bar Association banquets,
mm-hmm.
Jean Williams put on a skit, and Dagmar was up here.
Who?
And Dagmar.
Who's Dagmar?
In the movie, or something. Movie actress.
I don't know her.
Well, you're too young, sweetheart. At any rate, she's a beautiful lady.
Yeah.
So, they gave Dagmar
mm-hmm.
to George Grigsby for his birthday present. She came out. She was up here on some deal.
Uh-huh.
And she came out. It was terrific.
Like, yeah. When was this?
Some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There have been so many years, sweetheart. I can't remember them all.
So they gave her to him?
And they gave her gave Dagmar. He was, I might say, nonplussed, which he seldom was.
Uh-huh.
That was one of the parties.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had skits, and they put on the parties, all with the Supreme Court robes, you know. Not really the Supreme Court, but
yeah.
These guys, and they were all sort of like a gridiron show?
Yeah, yeah.
Gridiron show?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Yeah.
They were beautiful. Funny and great, you know? And they gave me hell, too.
Did Gene Williams write these skits? That...
He wrote them for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe his wife helped. She's a cutie, but she's kind of quiet type, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know if he'd stand for that. He's so outgoing, you know?
Yeah.
In any event, that's one of the fine attorneys I knew. And there are a number of others that I haven't been able to tell you about. Okay?
Okay.